But my spiritual master is Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Gijai, is very kind to me because he has come to me in my darkness and forced me to open my eyes to the blazing torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada Gijai. So we've come to the portion of the Vyasa Puja celebration today, which is not something that has been just whimsically added to the program. It's part of the program, integral part of the program, started by the Vaishnavacharyas long, long time ago, the offering of homages to the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada reiterated this practice to me as something not whimsical. Pandiji, please. Pandiji. Thank you, thank you. Hare Krishna. It's a job. Srila Prabhupada reiterated this practice of offering homages to the spiritual master to me personally, and it fulfilled the statement that Srila Prabhupada said that something that is learned with difficulty is not easily forgotten. Something that is learned easily is easily forgotten. But Srila Prabhupada in his gems of granny wisdom gave us that. Something that is learned with difficulty is not forgotten very easily, is remembered. It's very difficult to forget. Difficult to learn, difficult to forget. So Srila Prabhupada, in your mercy, you explained to me and to the disciples of Tokyo Temple in 1970, the proper way to worship the spiritual master on this holy Vyasa Puja day. The Vyasa Puja must be celebrated in the morning, a.m. That is one of the principles that you explained. And it must be celebrated with pushpa. Pushpa, the offering of flowers, and homages as well. We were in Tokyo Temple. We had been selected by Srila Prabhupada to travel with him back to India. For the first time, the devotees had gone back to India en masse. Previously, Prabhupada had gone back to India with Kirtananda, but now he was going again with Kirtananda. And part of the party was Tamal Krishna, Adhikari in those days, and Kartikeya Maharaj, and Devananda Maharaj, Kirtananda Maharaj, and myself, and Srila Prabhupada. And in Tokyo, we picked up one more party. Part of the party, Banu, who is Bhakta Bruce in those days, Japanese-Canadian, later to become a great Sanskrit scholar in our movement, Banu Maharaj. So Bhakta Bruce joined the party, and you took us all to India with you. But on the way, we celebrated the Janmashtami day, and Vyasa Puja Day with Srila Prabhupada personally in Tokyo. And after staying up till midnight, reading the Krishna book with Srila Prabhupada, you taught us that tradition as well, reading the Krishna book on Krishna's birthday. And we were passing the Krishna book around to the devotees, And Prabhupada instructed us, as he always would instruct us. He said, when reading the book, don't pass the book, but you come to the book. In honor of Krishna book, we would all take our place in front of the book stand and we would read. And then instead of passing the book to someone else in the circle, we would come to the place where the book stand was and read. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting on his asan. It wasn't a very lofty asan. It was just on the floor, the straw floor with the paper windows and the sliding paper doors, typical Japanese house, cold in September as it was. It was a cultural shock to us all, Srila Prabhupada. But you were showing us how to spread Krishna consciousness. And so we were moving to the Krishna book, reading chapter upon chapter. And Sudama was busy in the kitchen making samosas. Prabhupada liked his samosas. He liked Sudama's samosas because they were very tender and very, very small. Small and tender. So after a whole day of that, we passed the book around. I mean, we went to the book stand like that. And then Prabhupada said, when is my turn? And we said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, yes. So Prabhupada moved to the lectern where the book was, and he began reading the Krishna book. And Srila Prabhupada's eyes were wide open, and he was reading with wonder, and great gusto. Later on, we asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you were reading that Krishna book like you didn't even write it yourself. Somebody else was writing it. He said, yes, Krishna wrote it. I didn't even write it myself. So like that, after a whole day of doing that, we broke our fast at midnight. And there we were the next day to celebrate Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And like I said, Kirtananda, Big Swami was there, and Tamal Krishna, Adhikari, topmost organizer in our society, Kartikeya Maharaj, Devananda Maharaj, you know, most fallen Madhavisa also snuck in, you know. And we were all big, big Swamis and leaders of our society. And we came together to celebrate the Vyasa Puja day. Srila Prabhupada arrived at the temple. And it was in the morning. He said, yes, it's very good in the morning. Now, where's the pushpa? So Sudama said, oh, yeah, I'm making the pushpa. I'm making the pushpa right now. So it's just now coming. So Prabhupada said, all right, now pushpa wasn't ready. So there's a rice. What is the rice called? Pushpa? Pushpanjali, right? Pushpana, yeah, pushpana. Pushpana is the rice. Now, pushpana is the rice that you like, Srila Prabhupada. You taught us, like you taught us everything else, how to make pushpana rice. It's a very nice rice preparation. You have curd and cashews and golden raisins. Prabhupada didn't like the dark raisins. He liked the golden raisins, the pushpana. The raisins and the cashews and the curd and so many things like that are mixed in with the rice. And the rice, well, a lot of ghee and saffron is in there. Very delicious preparation, the pushpana. And also there's the pushpanjali, which is the flowers that are offered to Krishna. So anyways, Sudama was back in the kitchen. He was the president of the temple, so he was responsible for getting it all together. The pushpana, the pushpanjali, all the different varieties of pushpa. So Prabhupada said, where's the pushpa? And Sudama said, oh, it's just coming, Prabhupada. So he ran back in the kitchen and was busy working there. And Prabhupada said, so where are the homages? So we looked around and he said, homages? Homages? What are homages? Prabhupada said, no homages? He looked at Kirtananda Maharaj. He said, Kirtananda, do you know homages? We are here to offer the homages. And Kirtananda said, he said directly to Kirtananda, he said, Where is your homage? Where is your homage? And Kirtananda looked around, and I didn't even know what a homage was. So I was thinking, well, what's a homage? And Kirtananda broke out and cried. He started to cry.
I'm going to have a homage.
Prabhupada said, you don't have a homage? He said, Tamal Krishna. He looked over to Tamal Krishna. Where is your homage? No homage. Okay, no homages. Madhavi said, where's your homage? I don't know. I don't know about homages. So then Prabhupada said, where's the pushpa? So Sudama came running out of the kitchen again. Pushpa is almost ready, Prabhupada, almost ready. So Prabhupada said, no homages, no pushpa. At least we're beginning in the morning, but it's almost noon, right? We have to start. So we started chanting the prayers to the spiritual master. Finished that. And then we said, and then Prabhupada said, so where's the pushpa? So Sudama came running out with a big tray of pushpana rice. Prabhupada said, what is this? He said, you don't offer the prasadam until after this. He said, oh, but you were asking for the pushpa. I said, no, not the pushpana rice, the pushpanjali, the flowers to offer. So while this is all going on, people are filling the temple room. The temple room is gradually becoming full. It is a relatively small temple room, not as big as this, but for Japan size in 1970, it was a big day for Sudama. He was the one-man show. He was running around doing all the work himself. There were other devotees there like Burijan, but Burijan was just a real greenhorn. You know, he didn't know too much in those days. He hadn't become such a great scholar of Bhagavad Gita in those days. So he was trying to help out. Sudama was running the whole show himself. So he ran out with a big tray of pushpana rice. Prabhupada said, not this, pushpanjali. Where are the flowers? So you have to realize in September in Japan, it's not like California. There's no flowers around available. You have to go to the flower market. You have to offer. It was a great difficulty. So Sudama was looking around. Oh, no flowers. So Prabhupada, meanwhile, the temple room's all filled with the guests. Sudama had worked hard to invite all the guests to come to see Srila Prabhupada there. There were representatives of Dynapon Printing, you know, were there. There were older Japanese ladies, older Japanese men, men that Sudama had met during the year. And so the temple room was filled with devotees. Prabhupada's asking for the pushpa. There's no pushpa. Asking for the homages. There's no homages, you know. So Prabhupada did the most amazing thing. He stood up from his vyasasan and he walked out of the door. Didn't tell anybody about anything. He just stood up from his vyasasan and he walked out of the door. And we were totally flabbergasted. All these people had come and gathered to see Srila Prabhupada that day to honor him. And to hear his lecture in Prabhupada, in your mercy, you were teaching us something with great difficulty. It was great difficulty to learn this lesson, you know, but we wouldn't forget it. We would never forget it. Srila Prabhupada walked out of the door, and everybody, Sudama was running up behind Srila Prabhupada. What's the matter, Prabhupada? What can we do, Prabhupada? Didn't say a word. Walked out of the door. And they ran, they got his car, and they drove him all the way back to his apartment. He didn't say a word. He said, he got back to the apartment, and he said, Kirtananda, you know, you should have known the proper way to celebrate this Vyasa Puja. Tamal Krishna, you are a big, big organizer. Don't you know? Sudama, you are the president of the temple here. Don't you know? Madhavisa, don't you know? You have all been devotees. For years, you have celebrated the Vyasa Puja incorrectly, obviously. So tomorrow, I will come back again to the temple. And tonight, I will tell you exactly how you should celebrate this Vyasa Puja. So that year, in 1970, there was two Vyasa Puja celebrations. The one that we botched, and the one that, which was properly executed the next day. It was learned, that lesson was learned with a lot of difficulty and embarrassment, you know, but it wasn't easily forgotten. So Srila Prabhupada, you have gathered us all together once again, and there are devotees that will give their offerings today. We're going to begin with Jayadvaita Maharaj. And is Rilananda Maharaj here now? Yes? No. Well, anyways. Bhadri Raghava Maharaj, and the Maharaj and Bhadri Narayan will also give. And then anybody who wants to give their homage to Srila Prabhupada, priority is given to those who have something written out, some that's prepared. I understood that some of the children are also prepared something to offer to Srila Prabhupada on this day. And I just want to say one thing, read one thing, if I can read up here. And then I'll begin with the proceedings. Our god brother Achyutananda has written a very nice book here. And if you haven't seen it, it's called Blazing Sadhus. You can all take what you want from that. But that's a bona fide title. So at the end of the book, Achyutananda writes down zingers about Srila Prabhupada. Things that, little short phrases that people have spoken about Prabhupada, like this one. He said, in 1966, a gentleman approached Prabhupada to sell him a historic building, one owned by Alexander Hamilton. It turned out to be a false proposition. Prabhupada said, I never liked that man. He kept calling me Your Excellency. The flatterer is your enemy. So at the very end, the very last zinger, Achyutananda says, this is my own zinger. He says, bhakti must have the comprehensive knowledge in the science of Krishna and is unlimited potencies, qualities, and pastimes of his incarnations. It is not just idly talking about the love lila of the gopis. It is the love that inspires a penniless 70-year-old holy man to take a 35-day long freight voyage over the sea to an unknown country and to start a worldwide mission from nothing. So today, Srila Prabhupada, we offer you our humble gratitudes for taking that 35-day long ship voyage when you could have stayed behind in Vrindavan and lived the simple life of a sadhu and gone back to home, back to Godhead. Instead, you decided to come here and bring along all of us vagabonds with you. He brought us all along in that boat back to Godhead, being rowed by the 10 incarnations of the Lord. And we are constantly jumping off the boat, You're constantly throwing us the life preserver in the form of your instructions, your mercy. So the debt that we owe to you cannot be paid back. It cannot even be alliterated with one head and one mouth. If we had four mouths, like Lord Brahma, or five heads, like Lord Shiva, or 1,000 heads, like Anantashesha, we could not enumerate the gratitude that we have to you, Srila Prabhupada, on this holy Vyasa Puja day. So once again, we thank you very much for taking us back to home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to call Jayadvaita Maharaj. He's here.
Before we begin, we'd just like to have a little bit of change of venue. Due to all the commotion that will be happening here for the offering of the cake, I'd like to take the asa and put it in that area there. That way the speakers won't be disturbed by all the commotion that goes on.
Good idea.
Hare Krishna. Good. First, for those who've contributed to the Open Vyasa Puja book, I owe an apology because it hasn't yet arrived. Our team has failed to deliver it. They say it will come, something like the birthday cake being delivered after the birthday is over. It is online, and for those who contributed something and need a copy to read, I have it here. Apart from that, my apologies. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadam Ayam Tathati Shapadantikam Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Shaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtacha Deshatarini. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. Once in 1968, at a small meeting with your devotees working on the BTG, you began to speak about your Guru Maharaj and said, "My Guru Maharaj used to speak from the highest elevated platform." You said it in such a way that the room seemed to fill with the spiritual wave of your regard for your Guru Maharaj's greatness. It was a wave we could feel, and with my mind's eye, I saw for a moment a picture of your Guru Maharaj seated as if on a celestial throne-like seat far above us, delivering spiritual knowledge. His language, you said, was difficult. Even when he would speak in Bengali, I could not understand. Whether you understood or not, you used to go on hearing. That was my policy, you said. And because you were then enthusiastic about hearing, you went on to explain, now you are enthusiastic about speaking or preaching. In contrast to the words of your Guru Maharaj, your words, Srila Prabhupada, are simple ones that anyone can understand. And yet they carry such depth of meaning, of truth, that we wonder at how mere words can convey so much. Once at the airport in Tokyo, a young man asked you, "Where do you get all that knowledge in your books?" "You get it from Krishna, through the Vedic writings, through the cyclic succession, and directly from within your heart. It is spiritual knowledge profoundly realized." Your words are a transcendental vibration going beyond the semantic framework of symbols and grammar, beyond what we can grasp just through the intellect. It is a vibration that calls to the soul, and a fortunate soul will respond and be enlightened. And most fortunate of all, by your mercy, will be those who dedicate themselves to serving your words and passing them on to others. Your servant, Chaitanya Swami.
At this time, I'd like to call Bhakti Raghava Maharaj to come and deliver his homage to Srila Prabhupada.
Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jenata Smai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Nirati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namini. This is a bit of a new experience for me, although for many years I am writing or have written like all those who are disciples of Srila Prabhupada, a personal offering. I am always humbled and overwhelmed whenever I attend functions where devotees who in the early days had the great fortune to directly interact with His divine grace have such wonderful memories of Srila Prabhupada. Very often devotees will ask, what did Srila Prabhupada ever share with you, or what did you ever ask Srila Prabhupada? I am one of probably a number of devotees who did not have that opportunity to actually directly speak to Srila Prabhupada. However, I will take this opportunity to just directly express a few feelings or sentiments. Srila Prabhupada's mere presence in those early days at least put myself in a position of, we could say, awe and reverence. My dear Srila Prabhupada, the literatures that you have given to the whole world, I recall especially the rendering or the presentation of the Srimad Bhagavatam was one of the main factors which greatly impressed me actually from the very beginning when I attended the first Sunday feast program at the Ottawa Temple. I could understand that from these literatures, which you were, at that time it was totally new to me, but I could understand, I could get a glimpse of how profound such literatures were, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, like all of us, I came to gradually understand that the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam is all powerful. It is referred to as the king of all Shastra, Grantharaj. I am eternally indebted unto you for giving me this opportunity to serve in some small way in this very great mission. And my prayer today is that I may continue to be engaged in serving your mission and introducing not only this knowledge, which is contained in the Bhagavatam, but as we pray, this wonderful verse from the second chapter of the first canto, that there is the book, Bhagavata, and the person, Bhagavata. You have very kindly introduced both of these, and it is the greatest gift, most precious gift to me individually, personally, and to so many others. I wish to thank you for this opportunity to serve and beg for your kind mercy on this very special, auspicious day. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
I'm sitting on this seat just so I can have a place to put the book.
The next speaker is Badri Narayan, our very own GVC.
Before I forget, I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. It's all right. Thank you. It's got a life of it. It's all right. Stop. Thank you. I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Detroit, and I asked Prabhupada, what does it mean to be one of your temple presidents? And I thought he would say, you know, you're on the front line of Lord Chaitanya's army, and you're one of my generals, and then you're empowered by Krishna. No. He put his cane down, he sized me up, and he said, if anything goes wrong, it's your fault. Which was accurate instruction. So I'm a member of the GPC. Anything goes wrong, call Swavas. No, you can contact me. And again, I don't want to take up too much time, but just Madhavisa Prabhu was very nicely explaining that first Vyasa Puja and how Srila Prabhupada had to teach us everything. Everything. So we'd heard our temple president, who I can never repay, Govardhan Prabhu in Detroit was our temple president. And he'd heard that in New Dwarka they had bathed Prabhupada's feet. So, how fantastic. So how do you do it? He got a brief description. So Prabhupada came, about 2 weeks later, Prabhupada came to Detroit. Govardhan had gotten a plastic swimming pool from Kmart, which is the predecessor to Walmart, with little, I remember it was blue with yellow ducks around the side, little duckies. And so we had everything ready. Prabhupada saw, kind of looked askance, all right, here goes. And we brought the pool out. Prabhupada put his feet out. Govardhan got ready to pour the milk. Prabhupada said, oh, socks off. That was a good point. We hadn't thought of that. Maybe we should take Prabhupada's socks off before we bathed his feet. That was a good idea. And the milk was ice cold right out of the fridge. So, you know, ooh, Prabhupada winced. So people think, you know, it was a labor of love. The love was there, no doubt. As Achyutananda said, how would Prabhupada, you know, 35 days on a boat, we know the story. But it was a labor as well. So we should never forget that, how we have literally been delivered by Srila Prabhupada. And everything we have, everything we do, everything we breathe, speak, eat, is only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So, without further ado. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Samanita Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paskachade Satarani. As I sat down to write this offering, a series of scenes of Srila Prabhupada came to mind. What follows is my attempt to string those remembrances and their purport together. the first scene as a peaceful rural Vrindavan of the early 1960s. We see Srila Prabhupada sitting alone in his small room in the Radha Damodar temple. He is looking out the window at the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami and deeply meditating on the order of his Guru Maharaj. Go to the West. It will be good for you and good for others. By this point in time, sorry, I don't have the right glasses, but there it is. But at this point in time, his spiritual master's mission had imploded due to infighting and neglect of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's order. Srila Prabhupada is elderly, apparently impoverished, and not in the best of health. However, continually weighing on him is his Guru Maharaj's order to leave the sheltering embrace of Vrindavan, make the difficult traverse across the ocean, and arrive in an unfamiliar and probably unwelcoming land, to present the message that by all indications the local population would not want to hear. And yet, against all odds, he is determined to do it. Srila Prabhupada has prepared as best he can by completing his 3-volume set of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He has found a sponsor, has arranged for free passage to the USA, and has a visa and his P form in hand. Srila Prabhupada's calculation is that in that foreign land, if necessary, he could survive on oats and potatoes, if not, quote, let me starve, end quote. But he must attempt to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj. Who can estimate the commitment and compassion of such a person? Others may say, we could have gone, but they didn't. The Varna chiefs sat down on the shore, ruining how they also could have jumped to Lanka, but only Hanuman did it, and certifying forever that he was amongst the best of servants of Lord Ram. In composing his own Prana mantra, Srila Prabhupada chose as his distinguishing characteristic that he was first and foremost the surrendered servant of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In his purport to Bhagavad Gita, 241, Srila Prabhupada reveals that this fixed determination to execute the order of this one spiritual master is the secret of spiritual success. The next scene that comes to me is of Srila Prabhupada in New York City in 1966. He is giving class at 26 Second Avenue in the sweltering summer heat. You hear dogs barking, trucks rumbling by, and boisterous children determined to play right outside. Over this irreverent cacophony, we hear Srila Prabhupada, his voice sometimes cracking with feeling, as he alternately speaks forcibly and then pleadingly. His small audience consists of fledgling newcomers, barely in the house of bhakti, and eclectic seekers who have come to check out the Swami. Charmingly and convincingly, Srila Prabhupada presents the whole point of Krishna. This is Prabhupada's lecture at the 26 Second Avenue. The whole point of Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita was to turn Arjuna from a no man to a yes man. At the beginning of Gita, Arjuna was saying, no, I will not fight. At the end of the Gita, Arjuna is saying, yes, I am now prepared to carry out your order. So from no man, this is a new definition of what it means to be a yes man. For the first time, the audience was hearing this state of saying yes to Krishna is the real purpose of the real purport of desire. It is the ultimate perfection of one's individuality and the platform of eternal satisfaction. As confirmation of the possibility and benefit of achieving such a yes man state, here is Srila Prabhupada sitting directly in front of them as the perfect example. Later on that year, during one of the worst New York winters on record, Srila Prabhupada, indifferent to the fierce cold, due to the absorption in fulfilling his Guru Maharaj's order, explains that, quote, Mahatma means to make one's heart expand. Prabhupada was such a Mahatma with an expanded heart. If compassion is the essence of a Vaishnav, the true measure of a Mahatma, then who could doubt that Srila Prabhupada was the exemplar par excellence? During his last tour in the USA, as his health was failing and devotees were begging him to stop traveling and rest, Srila Prabhupada responded, "It is glorious if a soldier dies on the battlefield. I want the benediction to fight like Arjuna until my last breath." Now the scene shifts until March 1977, and I'm in Mayapur walking alone through the temple and ashram compound of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's house. You know, you go down by Yog Pit, there's actually the house of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the original ashram with his deities and everything. In those days, it was practically abandoned. You could wander anywhere. The place has a feel of being frozen in time. I am free to explore as I like. And pushing open a door, I find one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's famous presses. At the opulent temple of Bagh Bazar in Calcutta, he had the press placed in the back of the temple room so that the deities could hear the sound of it running. Meaning the deities, being serenaded by the playing of the Brihat Madanga. So the deities are here at temple room and the press is running in the back. And that sweet sound, he said, was kirtan serenading the deities. But here, the scene is dismayingly different. The press has been abandoned. It is covered with spider webs. The trays for holding the block type have been cast hither and thither. Laundry, actually a pair of copans, was hanging over the press to dry. How could things have come to this point? The scene serves as a cautionary tale. There but by the grace of God go we, unless we are sobered by this history. In answer to how could this have happened, I am carried to Srila Prabhupada's visit to New Vrindavan in the summer of 1974. He is sitting outside for an intimate evening darshan. One of the devotees begins to make the case that he was young and full of new enthusiasm when he took his initiation vows. He says that now it is several years later, and he is realizing how hard it is to maintain those vows. Even before this devotee can present the rest of his case, Srila Prabhupada slammed his hand down on his desk in front of him and demanded, "Then why did you promise? Only an animal cannot keep its promise." Srila Prabhupada is amplifying the thread running through his own life. Our success depends on unflinching loyalty and faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. My last scene takes us to Detroit in June of 1975. When asked during a darshan about the extent of the spiritual master's mercy, you warned, "I'll forgive you once, I'll forgive you twice, third time I take off my shoe." A devotee responded, "But I thought the spiritual master was unlimitedly merciful." Srila Prabhupada chuckled and said, "Yes, that is a fact, but don't take advantage." Great acharyas can be soft as a rose and hard as a thunderbolt. Manifesting the thunderbolt mood, Srila Prabhupada went on to say, "As Lord Rama conquered Lanka with monkey soldiers, I am working with monkey disciples." We were stunned, but had to admit to this frank analysis of our actual position. To elaborate, Srila Prabhupada said, "I have created the structure. All you have to do is go and decorate it." Knowing us oh so well and our propensity to charge off in the wrong direction, he then added, "Actually, I've also created the decorations. All you have to do is go and hang them." The first day you sat down on the Vyasasana in Detroit to give class, you looked out over the audience. It was a colorful mix of hippies, college students, Indian families, professors, inner city street kids, a vast montage of humankind. in the soft as a rose mood, we could hear you. The microphone was turned on. Prabhupada chuckled to himself, looked out over the scene and said, Krishna's lotus feet, big enough for everyone. Once in India, a man was calling out to you as you were leaving a program. Save me, he said. You turned to him and said, yes, I can save you, but you must do the work. To get out of this material world and come back to Krishna's lotus feet, we need to hold on tightly to the rope of your instructions, your standard, and your vision for how to spread the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's mission. That fidelity will be the secret of our success. If a man is in a well, okay, fine, he can't get out on his own. You have to lower the rope down. But what still has to happen? The rope in and of itself is not sufficient. What has to happen? You have to grab onto it. So Prabhupada, and I'm speaking to myself here, don't misunderstand, I'm speaking to myself. We have to grab onto that rope. Considering all the above, may I always hold fast to the rope of your mercy, as you have so carefully crafted via your instructions. May I be of some small use to you as one of your monkey soldiers. Your ever grateful servant, Padinran Das.
Hari. I'd like to call next Bhrigu Pati to come. Bhrigu Pati Das, one of the Maharati book distributors in ISKCON. And we have limited time today for all the homages, but I'd like to get the Mataji's in after Bhrigu speaks. And those who want to relish more homages and more pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, tonight there's going to be a program up in Srila Prabhupada's room. Everybody's invited to come for that. But now I'd like to call Bhrigu to Asan, and then I'll go back to the back of the temple and the Matajis can come and schedule some speaking now. Bhrigu Pati, please.
Maam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Govardhavani Pacharine Yavashisha Sunyavadi Pasachadishacharine. So there's a saying in English that example is better than precept. And that's not to say that precept isn't at all important, but example is more important. But in any event, in the person of Srila Prabhupada, we got an abundance of both. A lot of precept, a lot of instruction, and a lot of also excellent example. And actually that's required. It's required that, at least in devotional service, for Prabhupada to have had the impact he had, the tremendous impact he had on our lives and the lives of so many other thousands of people, that both things had to be there, both the precept in the form of his books and lectures and conversations and morning walks and letters, and of course there's an incredible, astounding example was there as well. And Prabhupada himself makes this point, and this is a couple sentences from a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada commenting upon this point says, one must be a pure devotee following the devotional process, then one can convert others to devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practiced devotional service and preached Apani Achadi Bhakti Karila Prachara. If a preacher behaves properly in devotional service, he will be able to convert others. Otherwise, preaching will have no effect. To make a show of devotional service will not help one. So, and this is important because just this morning we were hearing a lecture and Prabhupada was requesting several different times in that lecture, he was requesting all of his followers to become preachers. Just to refresh everybody's memory, he says, every one of us should become a spiritual master because the world is in blazing fire. A few seconds later, he said, at the same time, I shall request them all to become spiritual master, referring to all his followers. Every one of them to become spiritual master. Every one of you should be be spiritual master. And then a couple minutes later, Prabhupada gave this interesting translation to the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, Amara Gyada Guru Hanatade Deshi. He says, "Oh, my dear disciples, I tell you that you, all of you, become spiritual masters. Simply carry out my order. That's all." And at the very end of the, something we didn't hear this morning, but it was part of the transcript, Prabhupada obviously was just saying this to his, the disciples after the public address was finished. He said, another thing, don't be satisfied that you have understood and that's all. No, this should be distributed. Just like in my old age, I have come to your country carrying the order of my spiritual master to distribute it. You're all young boys and girls. Take this message and distribute it. The whole suffering humanity will be happy. That is our mission. So, of course, we have so many here in this room and ISKCON worldwide. There's so many good examples of devotees who are already doing that, who are already practicing very seriously and have dedicated their lives to doing that and also dedicated their lives to preaching Krishna consciousness. And we'd like to thank them for that example. It's so important. I remember one instance from my own life when I just in a very kind of a poignant way I had that realization. I was in Vrindavan. It was, Kartik, about 1989. And I was there for that Kartik festival, and I remember I was thinking, well, I've kind of earned a bit of a vacation here, spiritual vacation. So it was Mangalarti had just finished, and I thought to myself, okay, now I'm going to go. I'll go back to, start chanting or whatever, do something I wanted to do in for my sadhana. So I paid my obeisances and I got up, and it was right at the beginning of Mangalarti finished and Tulsi Puja's beginning, and I look around the room. And I say, well, there's Ramapad Swami, my former GBC and a guru in ISKCON, and he's staying. Oh, there's Satsrup Maharaj, he's staying. There's Tamakrishna Maharaj, he's staying. And then I looked around, there's about another half a dozen sannyas. So I just said to myself, where are you going? So I had to stay. So so it's so important that the senior devotees are giving show an example, because it actually is what keeps the rest of us in line. It's what kind of it's the compelling force or the inspiration for us to practice seriously ourselves. So once again, I'd like to thank all the senior devotees within ISKCON who have already for so many decades now been showing such a wonderful example of practicing Krishna consciousness. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for us to make the choice to continue to dedicate ourselves to doing both those things, practicing Krishna consciousness and trying to share it with other people, or to decide to rededicate ourselves if we're feel like we've allowed ourselves to get a little bit slack. And of course, doing that, that's the best offering we can make to Srila Prabhupada, those two things. And that'll please Srila Prabhupada, and of course, that's the goal of our life. And in the course of encouraging us to do that, these two things, practice seriously and preach Krishna consciousness, sometimes Prabhupada would also point out how it's in our best interest as well. It's the best thing we could do. It's the thing we could do that will most please him. It's the thing that we could do to help all the other fallen conditioned souls in this material world. And it's actually the best thing we could do for ourselves. And just to conclude, I'm just going to read a couple sentences from a letter that Prabhupada wrote to George Harrison. Actually, I neglected to write down what year it was, but illustrating this point, Prabhupada said in that letter, he said, "So that will be the supreme perfection of our existence, to come to that point of being best friend, best devotee of Krishna." And Prabhupada goes, "And how is that?" It says, "If we become simply engaged in his preaching work, trying with whatever talent or education or experience or material advantages we have got to spread Krishna consciousness message all over the world, that is the best friend of Krishna. That is Krishna's pet dog." So I thought that was very nice. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Go Gaur Srila Prabhupada.
Hello. Hare Krishna. So the next three speakers are going to be Mataji's, and we would like to start with the senior most devotee. I think even more senior than Jayadvaita. I don't want to offend Maharaj. But Balai Maharani, does she pull rank there? She is the senior most disciple. So Balai, please come and give your homage to Srila Prabhupada. Then there'll be Rambaru and Devi Trist. Yeah.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most humble and respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. Thank you for picking me up out of the gutter and giving me a chance to render some service to you. You have bestowed causeless mercy upon this undeserving soul. I pray to Lord Sri Krishna to please keep me at your lotus feet so that I may serve you eternally. You have given us a glimpse into the spiritual world. One of my favorite pastimes that you told us is Narada Muni's visiting Lord Narayan and asking about the fate of the Brahmin and the cobbler. Narada Muni told the cobbler that Narayan was pushing one elephant through the eye of the needle. And I'm going to quote Srila Prabhupada. Oh, he, the cobbler, began to cry. Oh, my Lord is wonderful. He can do anything. So Narada inquired, so do you believe the Lord can push one elephant through the holes of a needle? Oh, why not? I must believe. Then what is your reason? Oh, my reason, I am sitting under this banyan tree, and so many fruits are falling daily, and in each fruit there are thousands of seeds, and in each seed there is a tree. If in a small seed there can be a big tree like that, is it very impossible to accept that Krishna is putting one elephant through the holes of a needle? He has kept such a nice tree in the seed. Srila Prabhupada, by your causeless mercy, you have given us the same faith in your instructions, in Lord Sri Krishna, and in the process of Krishna consciousness. In a letter to me you wrote, you very rightly say that we cannot really give anything to Krishna, because everything belongs to him already. Therefore, the energy which we have received from Krishna should be utilized for Krishna's service. I pray to always use my energy in your service, humbly praying to remain at your lotus feet, your servant, Balai Dasi. And then I'm also going to tell a pastime. Hare Krishna. So there was a time when I was in New York living with my husband, Advaita, and Srila Prabhupada was in Montreal. So I made a small loaf banana bread, banana nut bread, and sent it with some devotees because I couldn't go. Just never expecting any kind of thank you. I'm giving it to Srila Prabhupada. And a few days later, I received this letter. It's August 19, 1968, to me and my husband. My dear Balai Dasi and Advaita Das, please accept my blessings. It was so kind of you that you have sent me a birthday cake. And you will be pleased to know that Govinda Dasi and her husband, Gorasinda, decorated the bread with nice different kinds of candles, and it was offered to Krishna, and then I enjoyed the bread, part of it, and the rest was distributed to the devotees. It was very nice. The other day, they performed my birthday anniversary very decently, and there were good gathering and people appreciated. Again, thank you for your nice cake. So just Srila Prabhupada, he says, you take one step towards Krishna, and he'll take 10 towards you. So you just make some small offering to Srila Prabhupada, and he will reciprocate a million times. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Mother D. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. As an educator of chaplains, I've grown so much to admire your strategy for educating people in Krishna consciousness. You have utilized all the time-tested methods for transforming the human heart. You knew that unless a person had their basic human needs met, like food, shelter, love and belonging, they would not have the intelligence to understand the ancient wisdom described in Vedic texts. Keeping that in mind, you created the intentional devotional communities where a person would not have to waste valuable time struggling for existence and could devote all their time cultivating Krishna consciousness. You kindly created this ISKCON web of devotional activities and association where people could become involved, entangled even, and feel themselves belonging to something much greater than themselves, while they cultivated a higher taste for living in relationship with Guru, Krishna, and one another. And in the mood of an expert educator, you knew that by living in community with like-minded, mutually empathic persons, a person's heart would naturally begin to open and grow towards self-actualization. And that without this sense that I am cared for and that I belong by at least one other person, it is not possible for the human heart to soften, melt, and surrender to God. You understood this so completely that you created this alternative ISKCON family to fill the void in our hearts and our yearning for deep, authentic, interpersonal relationships. Instilling within us the mood of Vaishnava Sangha, where each person is honored and cherished as a wish-fulfilling tree, who are gateways to pure love for God, you knew that Krishna was eternally appearing wherever two or more were gathered in his name to hear, chant, remember, and share prasadam. My dear Srila Prabhupada, make me a servant of Vaishnava Association birth after birth, and let me always be grateful that you created my good fortune. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Now, David Haiti, please come. And anybody who has written something, there's priority. We only have about 15 more minutes. So come and see me if you have something written and you want to speak. Otherwise, we have one other speaker scheduled. Are the children ready? Okay, they'll go next.
We need the blessings of a bona fide spiritual master in order to make progress in spiritual life. Only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna can one achieve the path of devotional service. The expert spiritual master knows how to lead us to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. An expert spiritual master delivers the disciple from the clutches of impending death. He says, surrender to Krishna. The first condition of devotional service is to be a servant of a pure devotee. The pure devotee can deliver Krishna prema. Krishna is never obtainable directly. So therefore, we honor our spiritual master, who is in direct disciple succession, Parampara. The perfectional stage of devotional service cannot be attained without being blessed by the pure devotee. You cannot get the mercy directly. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee, and so only the pure devotee can deliver Krishna. A pure devotee always tries to please the servant of the servant. So therefore, one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the pure devotee rather than Krishna directly. A complete progressive march back to Godhead will depend on the instructions of the scriptures directed by the pure realized soul. Krishna is easily realized by his pure devotees. Worship of the devotee is considered more effective than direct worship. If Guru gives his mercy, then it is a great opportunity for one to make advancement. So thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for making this available to us. Thank you.
So we'd like to call the children up. Oh, this one child. This is unique. We have our third generation of Krishna conscious devotees offering homages to Srila Prabhupada. Third or maybe fourth generation. How old are you?
Nine.
That's fourth generation. So they prepared something, and let us all listen. Hare Krishna. Oh, just one thing. Bhadri Narayan made a reference to a poem written by Srila Prabhupada, a little couplet. And maybe you haven't heard, but it's very humorous, that when Ravana had stolen away Sita, and he had captured her in his island kingdom of Sri Lanka, which was known as Ceylon before the British renamed the island in Sri Lanka Ceylon. So when all the monkeys had gathered at the shore of the southern tip of India to get across to the island of Ceylon to liberate Sita, they were all standing around massaging each other's egos, saying how big they were, how great a devotee they were. And Srila Prabhupada compared those big, big monkeys to his godbrothers, who said, oh, anybody could have gone to the West. Swamiji was just a great businessman. He wasn't such a great devotee. We were all swamis, we were all sannyasis, we were big, big preachers in India. We could have gone, but we let him go. So Prabhupada made the commentary about that attitude of his godbrothers by writing a poem, a little couplet, referring to them as the big, big monkeys that were standing on the shores of Ceylon. And Prabhupada said, when all the big, big monkeys were standing around, wanting to get their name and fame broadcast, Hanuman stepped forward, and he jumped over the sea to the island of Ceylon. So Prabhupada said, in reference to this, big, big monkeys, big, big bellies, Ceylon jumping, melancholy.
Hare Krishna, my name is Abhay Chadan, and I'm going to do a letter to Srila Prabhupada. I thank you, Srila Prabhupada. I thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for giving me ISKCON, a great big ship to take me back home, back to Godhead. I thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for giving me the guidance of my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Giriraj Swami, who is mercifully training me to become a good servant and devotee. I thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for all the magnificent temples you built, where I can sing and dance in the kirtan and enjoy delicious prasad with my friends. Srila Prabhupada, you went through so much of difficulty so you can give us Krishna. Please give me your blessings so I can always remain a good devotee. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, everyone. My name is Radhika, and I dedicate this offering to Srila Prabhupada. O Srila Prabhupada, who set out at 70 for the benefit of more than two, despite three heart attacks, you never let go of your mission to preach the nectar of instruction. The east, the west you traveled to, danger at every step, teaching us deity worship, teaching us to chant. O Srila Prabhupada, who gave us the holy name to chant. Teaching through your books and also through the digital nooks, how can we ever thank you for all your hard work? The Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course the Chaitanya Charitamrita are all a part of your sacrifice and devotion. My dearest Srila Prabhupada, who not only opened many temples, but also spread the name of Krishna through all his devotees, smashing all our egos to make us the best of devotees for Krishna, birth and death indeed you surpassed, guiding us through all your hearts. If it weren't for you, Srila Prabhupada, I wouldn't have been writing this offering to you today. Thank you and Hare Krishna.
At this time, I'd like to call Jitakama to come up. Jitakama, senior most devotee and our scientist in residence.
This will be brief. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to your divine grace on this day of your appearance. In my life, I've received thousands of letters on paper and electronic form, but by far the most important of them all was the letter you wrote on January 9, 1976 from Bombay, India. In that letter, you accepted me and some others as your, quote, duly initiated disciples. From the external point of view, it is not much of a connection. You simply included my name and a list of persons you were accepting as your disciples. That letter was not even addressed to me. It was addressed to the Miami Temple president, but my name was in your letter. After that, there were no other letters from you to me or letters to others in which you mentioned me. Although I heard you give classes a few times, I never spoke to you personally, and there is no record that you ever mentioned me in any of your talks with others. So that one letter with a brief mention of my name is the only external manifestation I have of my any personal acknowledgement from you. In one sense, it is a very slender thread upon which to hang the weight of my eternal spiritual life, but it established an unbreakable connection. Your brief mention in your letter is a token of a deeper recognition. I am convinced you somehow know what I am doing and somehow are guiding me, correcting me, or encouraging me as you see fit for my progress. You are present in your orders and instructions, and as long as I follow them, I am associating with you and receiving your reciprocation. Lord Chaitanya said, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy, simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Simply by the briefest notice from you, I have somehow gotten the chance to attain that perfection. Thank you for giving me one tiny drop of your mercy, your servant, Jitakama Das.
We'd like to call Bugava next. He spent many years photographing Srila Prabhupada, so he can give us an up-close perspective. And then Nagapatni Mataji will speak at the end.
I didn't write an offering, but I had a couple of things that Prabhupada said that might be of use to you. Chaturani asked me to ask Prabhupada if he was present in his photographs, in his pictures, actually. Those were her words. And when I asked Prabhupada, he said, if you think of me, then I'm there. So that holds true even now. He's watching, and we're auditioning for Goloka. We have to see that. Krishna's love is a given, but he's just trying to protect the Brijbasis from the rude and the crude. So how we deal with each other, that's going to determine whether we make it back to Godhead or not. The other thing was I asked Prabhupada, I said sometimes there's a question and it's too detailed for the scriptures and the spiritual master isn't around. What should I do? He said, if you chant Hare Krishna very nicely, he said, all the answers will come from within. And I just wanted to give those two. There's other people who want to make offerings. I'll speak tonight in Prabhupada's room. And thanks to my God brothers and God sisters, I learned so much from Prabhupada, and I learned so much from you guys, mostly what to do, some what not to do. But thank you for your service to Prabhupada, and thank you for your association.
Nagapati Mata D, is she here?
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you and to all you have done. Your contributions to Lord Chaitanya's mission cannot be recited by one person or even a roomful, nor can they be covered in one day or many, many years. These glories continue to manifest through the devotees because of your books. Every year, I feel your presence more and more, and I see it for others. Your instruction... You instructed us in the minutest detail of material life to the highest spiritual rasa. I pray, brothers and sisters, and I mean that in the broad sense, that we do not deviate from his desires or his instructions. He has proven to be always right. In this way, everything will go on nicely. There will be no difficulty. I have no way to show proper gratitude, but pray to follow your orders. Give up my anartas in the heart and serve cooperatively with all others. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you.
So we'd like to conclude that portion of our program today, the homages delivered by the devotees to Srila Prabhupada. Tonight there will be other opportunities to speak. There will be a meeting in Srila Prabhupada's quarters, and at that time, Ridananda Maharaj is going to be there, Jayadvaita, and they'll be speaking about Prabhupada's pastimes. But if you have something prepared and written down, I'm sure there'll be time made for you to speak. Thank you very much. The next program is the Pushpanjali, offered to Srila Prabhupada. No rice. Pushpanjali. We have 3 more minutes. Okay, is there anybody out there in the audience who'd like to offer a homage to Srila Prabhupada? Please don't be shy at this time. We have 3 minutes right here. Come here.
On behalf of my father, David Eva, I heard from him, he got one direct instruction from Srila Prabhupada in the Gurukul in Vrindavan. Some of the boys were waving chamras and fans, and they had a good time at it, throwing them in the air and seeing if they could catch the handles again in the process of fanning Prabhupada. And one time, I'm not sure if it was my father or another boy. Oh, it must have been my father, because Prabhupada gave him this instruction. He threw it in the air, and he missed the handle, and it went clattering on the ground. And Prabhupada turned and said, "Stop this nonsense." So that was the one instruction given. And my father has passed this down to me and repeatedly instructed me. So I'm always trying to follow this instruction.
Anyone else? Oh, all right. Here the curtains are coming down. We have 1 more minute. Going once. Come up. Got 1 minute. Madhavananda is an old devotee of Srila Prabhupada.
This will be very brief. I just am reminded how Srila Prabhupada used to speak about the science of the soul, the science of God, and how important that education is in the world. And today we are in kind of a, one could say, a precarious world situation with people identifying with their material bodies instead of themselves as souls. And so this education is very important to be broadcast, that the soul is eternal, that race and political affiliations that Srila Prabhupada used to smash In fact, the very example of Srila Prabhupada going to see his future spiritual master because he had so many friends that looked up to his opinion and arguing to him that how can we possibly preach Krishna consciousness around the world when we're an occupied country. And then he said, I was defeated by my spiritual master. And so I'm just humbled to be in the association of my God brothers and God sisters and so many other followers of Srila Prabhupada, second generation, third generation, fourth generation, newcomers. And I just want to offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master and to all of you. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So thank you very much for your attention and a wonderful homage to Srila Prabhupada. So now we'll have the Pushpanjali, and what we like to do is we're going to take this prasad and we're going to put it against the wall here. Then the men can be on this right side, ladies can come in close on the left side and grab a handful of flowers, enough for throwing for at least 3 times.
Got them nice and big. That's where we like them.